Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I am your host, Tony Serino, and this is your daily dose of all things Steelers. Today on the show, my rapid reaction to the Steelers 24-21 loss to the Oakland Raiders. We're going to talk about so many parts of this game, the defensive performance late, the fact that Ben Roethlisberger did not enter the game again until 5 minutes left. What was the deal there? How bad was that injury? Could he have come back any sooner? And then we'll talk about some of the late game clock management there. Why didn't the Steelers take a timeout with about a minute to go after first and goal? We'll talk about all of that today. Welcome to the show. I am your host, Tony Serino. You can find more of this podcast by going to iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, wherever you find podcasts. Search Locked On Steelers. Hit that subscribe button to get your daily dose. You can follow me on Twitter at Steeler Country. You can find us on Facebook. Search Locked On Steelers. Hit the like button or join the Facebook group. And you can now find us on Instagram at Locked On Steelers. I usually start these podcasts with an injury report, but because Ben's injury was the only significant one of the game, and we're going to talk a lot about Ben's rib injury, let's get right to my rapid reaction of the Steelers' loss to the Raiders. The Steelers lose 24-21, bringing their record to 7-5-1 on the year. It puts the team in real jeopardy of falling out of first place in the AFC North. It puts them in jeopardy of falling out of the entire AFC playoff picture. The Ravens are 7-6. The rest of the AFC wildcard teams, the Colts, the Titans, the Dolphins, they're also 7-6. They're also just a half game back of the Pittsburgh Steelers right now. And you look at the Steelers' upcoming schedule, home for the Patriots at the Saints, the Steelers absolutely must win at least one of those games to stay in the picture in the AFC North and to still stay in the picture in the AFC wildcard race. This was a devastating loss for the Pittsburgh Steelers. In the midst of a three-game losing streak, this one hurts the worst. The Raiders are one of the worst teams in the NFL, if not the worst team in the NFL. And the Steelers, once again, found a way to lose a football game. They gave this one away time and time again in the second half. For Mike Tomlin, this was one of the worst coaching performances I've ever seen from him. In fact, I'll go as far as to say this loss is squarely on the shoulders of Mike Tomlin. There have been some weird plays in this three-game losing streak that have cost the Steelers. And there were a lot of weird plays in this football game. But Mike Tomlin did not put this team in a position to win the game specifically in the second half of this game. It cost this team not only this football game, but potentially it will cost this team the AFC North. Potentially, it will cost this team a spot in the AFC playoffs. So let's go over the reasons why. And I want to start with Ben Roethlisberger and his injury situation and how that injury was handled. Ben hurt his ribs in the first half. He played through that injury, was able to play through the whole first half, went into halftime, got some treatment. He was still getting medically cleared or still getting treatment at halftime. Didn't make it out in time for the second half. And there was a lot of questions there about how significant was that injury. Would he be able to re-enter himself into the game? Dobbs played in the third quarter, started the third quarter, played the majority of the second half. Ben did come out of the locker room, but did not re-enter the game until there was just 5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, right after the Raiders scored their go-ahead touchdown. They took the lead 17-14. Tomlin was asked after the game what played into that. What was Ben's status when he came out of the locker room? What took so long to get Ben into the football game? Here's what he had to say.
You know, he got looked at halftime. He got treatment. He came back out. We were waiting to see if he was going to be able to come back in. He was. Probably could have come in a series or so sooner, but we were in the rhythm in Florida game. He was ready to go when he got back out there.
Was he medically cleared at halftime?
He was medically cleared when he got back out there. Obviously, he wasn't back out there at the start of the third quarter.
Ben could have come in a series or so earlier, but they were in the rhythm and flow of the game. What rhythm and flow is Tomlin talking about there? The idea that Josh Dobbs played one more play than he had to in this game is completely ridiculous. As soon as Ben Roethlisberger was medically cleared to get back into this football game, he absolutely should have. And that's not saying that with hindsight that the Steelers won this game 24-21. You could tell very early on with Dobbs when he threw that first pass to Juju over the middle when Juju was wide open and Dobbs didn't throw it anywhere near him. That's when you knew right there, this team is going to have a very, very hard time scoring any points here. There was no running game to speak of. Samuels and Ridley had nothing going, especially in the second half of this game when there was no threat of throwing the ball with Josh Dobbs. It became very clear this offense cannot score. And so the idea that the Steelers were going to win this game meant they were going to nurse a four-point lead. They were going to hold the Raiders to 10 points in this football game. There was no rhythm. There was no flow offensively in the second half. Let me read for you Josh Dobbs and his drive chart in the second half. 5 plays, 25 yards, punt. 5 plays, 21 yards, turn it over on downs. 5 plays, 12 yards, interception. And 3 plays, 6 yards, punt the ball away. The idea that Ben Roethlisberger sat the bench during any of those drives when he could have entered back into the game, and especially seeing what we saw from him on the drive, on the 2 drives that he did play in the second half, it is completely ridiculous. And it is a coaching blunder that absolutely cost this team the game. Tomlin refers to a rhythm and flow in the second half. That's not what he means, because there was no rhythm and flow in the second half. He cannot be serious by saying that there was some sort of offensive rhythm or flow that he wanted to didn't want to break up by putting Ben Roethlisberger back into the game. What is far more likely is that the calculation that Mike Tomlin made in the second half of this game is, Ben, my quarterback is hurt, and I don't want to put him back into this game, a game I think we can win with our backup because we have the New England Patriots coming to town. And what has always been said about Tomlin and these Tomlin teams is that they play down to their opponents, they look past their opponents, or they look ahead to future games. That is absolutely the calculation. It's far more likely to me that Mike Tomlin made that calculation, looked ahead of the Raiders, said we can beat the Raiders with Dobbs, no problem. We got the Patriots next week. That's a far more important game. And I'm sitting Ben Roethlisberger in the second half of this game. It's far more likely than he didn't want to break up some sort of rhythm or flow that Josh Dobbs absolutely did not have. And it's criminal because let me read for you Ben Roethlisberger's drive charts in this game. They start the game, what was it, 6 plays, 20 yards, they punt. But then it's 11 plays, 67 yards, touchdown. 8 plays, 54 yards, they missed a field goal. 9 plays, 53 yards, touchdown. That's the first half of this game. The second half, Ben comes in, what is it, 6 plays, 75 yards, touchdown. 2 plays, 48 yards, Boswell slips, they missed a field goal. Ben Roethlisberger and the offense punted exactly one time in this game. Otherwise, he consistently moved that team into scoring range. And for a team in the second half that just felt like if we ever got the game to 21-10, it felt like it could be an insurmountable lead at that point. But there was no way with Josh Dobbs at the helm that this team was ever going to score a touchdown. It would have taken some sort of miracle play, you know, AB getting loose in the secondary, or same thing could be said for Juju. Those were the only ways, some sort of fluky play was the only way this team was going to score in the second half with Josh Dobbs at the helm. So this idea that Ben Roethlisberger did not enter back into the game because of a rhythm and flow, It cost the Steelers this game. There's no question in my mind that it cost the Steelers this game. But it wasn't the only thing. It wasn't the only coaching blunder that Tomlin had in this game that cost this football team this game. Hey, before we continue, I want to let you guys know about MyBookie. Whether you're an expert or rookie, you should be betting at MyBookie. If you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little but win a lot, like playing the numbers on roulette, Try creating a parlay. You can pick 3 teams to win. If you hit all 3, you're going to turn $100 into $600. And right now, there's so much to bet on. College basketball season underway. You've still got the NFL going for another 3 weeks and then into the playoffs. Bowl season in college football right around the corner. The NBA, NHL are midseason. They've got custom props, even esports. You name it, MyBookie has it all. If you sign up this week, MyBookie is going to give you a 50% deposit bonus to jumpstart your bankroll. It's a great way to bank even more money when you win. And be sure to follow them at MyBookie on Twitter. They personally respond to each mention and DM, not to mention that they've given away more than $10,000 in free money to their followers this football season. You'll be the first to know as soon as new odds and props are posted. So don't miss out on one of the best weeks to bet on sports all year. Log on to MyBookie right now. Use the promo code LOCKEDON and get a 50% deposit bonus. That's promo code LOCKEDON. You play, you win, you get paid. There's also the late game clock management. So let's take the Dobbs and Ben thing out of the equation, right? The Steelers still have a chance to win this game late. They are The Raiders have first and goal at the Steelers' 7-yard line. There's a minute 16 on the clock. They run the ball with Jalen Richard up the middle, right? And the Steelers stop them for a 1-yard gain. Now, instead of immediately calling timeout there, because the Steelers had 2 timeouts left, and now it's up to the Steelers to save clock. Because if the Raiders score here, you want to leave offensively enough time for your offense with Ben Roethlisberger to drive back down the field, at least get into field goal range, potentially even score what would be your own game-winning touchdown. And instead, Mike Tomlin, who has no clock management whatsoever, something I have railed on him all year for, it finally came back this year to cost this team. And it didn't just cost him a game. As I said, this coaching mistake may have cost this team any shot at a playoff berth, whether it be a division title or a wild card spot. The idea that he let 38 seconds run off the clock. We went from a minute 8 to 30 seconds on the clock before the Raiders take their next snap. It's one of those things I don't understand how no one on the coaching staff is going to Tomlin and saying, Tomlin, you got to call timeout here. We got to have at least some time back on the clock if we get the ball back. Tomlin was asked about it after the game. Here's what he had to say about not calling timeouts there on this goal line stand.
Yeah, I wanted to always keep a timeout for our offense. You guys know I kind of had that mentality about it, and I did. And I wasn't sure Juju was going to be able to get out of bounds, you know, in a subsequent possession. Just wanted to keep a timeout. Thought we had a chance to stop them. Wanted to utilize the timeout for the possession downs, third down, fourth down. We used one before the fourth down, you know, to no avail.
Hold on. There's that answer is insane. It's absolutely insane. Okay, so at one point he says, I wanted to leave a timeout for my offense. What? Your offense had 15 seconds, right? Clearly you didn't do any math in your head on this one because it makes no sense you were leaving a timeout for your offense. You ran 30 seconds off the clock. Okay, so the Raiders score with, what was it, 15 seconds left? The Steelers got the ball back when they started with 15 seconds left, right? 15 seconds left for the Pittsburgh Steelers when they take the first snap. 14 seconds left. You want to leave a timeout for 14 seconds? For what? For what? Would you rather have, all right, everyone out there, anyone who's ever played Madden in your entire life, okay, anyone who's ever played a game of Madden, Tecmo Bowl, any sort of quarterback club back on the N64, any football game you've ever played in your life, I got a quick question for you. Would you rather have 1 timeout and 14 seconds or 1 minute and no timeouts? I mean, it's ridiculous. No one in their right mind is answering 14 seconds and 1 timeout. But that's where the Steelers were. They had 14 seconds and a timeout left. Great job, Tomlin. Great job. Hey, we ended up using that timeout. Oh, I'm sorry. No, we took that one home with us. I'm sorry. We actually took that timeout home with us because we're idiots and we have no idea how to manage the clock. No idea how to manage the clock. Now I know the hook and lateral. It worked. Fantastic job by the Steelers. Fantastic job by Juju, who again shows that speed. That's a great play. We'll get to that here in a second. But the idea that 38 seconds ran off the clock and Mike Tomlin comes out and says, I wanted to save a timeout for our offense. No, how about you save time for our offense? That's what our offense needed. It didn't need a timeout. It needed time. Time is what it needed. And again, this is not just on Tomlin. Someone on this coaching staff, Fichtner, someone, Daryl Drake, the wide receiver coach, someone has to be going to Tomlin and saying, Tomlin, our offense needs time. Not timeouts, time. You have to give me time. Ben should be going there saying, I need time. I don't need timeouts. I need time. I need a minute. I don't need 15 seconds and a timeout. It does me no good. No one's going to Tomlin and saying that. And we're going to continue to have poor clock management. And this one, Steeler fans, probably cost us. It probably cost us the entire year. It was cute when we screwed up the clock management earlier in the year, but won the games anyway. But in this game, it absolutely cost us. It absolutely cost us. Could you imagine if Ben Roethlisberger had a minute to go with the ball and down 3? I mean, we could have won this football game. We easily could have won this football game, especially considering how easily this offense was moving the football. But instead, we're left with 15 seconds and a prayer on hook and lateral. Credit to James Washington for catching that ball and having the perfect pitch to Juju, and credit to him for running down the sideline. Credit to Fichtner and Ben for calling that play. Ben said after the game that he and Fichtner talked about it on the sideline. Fichtner asked him about it and said, hey, this is the play I'm thinking. And Ben said, yeah, and, you know, that's the time to run it is right now. A great play call. It got the job done to put the Steelers into scoring position. They got all the way down from their 30 all the way down to the Oakland 22-yard line. Put them in with a spot to tie the game with a Chris Boswell field goal. He slips, he falls. You know, again, am I going to blame Boz for this one? I mean, Boz is in a bad place right now. Boz is getting cut. I don't see any other way that I don't wake up on Monday morning with the rest of you guys and Chris Boswell hasn't been cut from the team, or at least the Steelers are trying out other kickers. He's 10 of 16 now. I mean, he's 10 of 15 after the miss earlier in the game. The slip, it did look weird. I will say this, his run-up and the planting of the foot looked weird altogether. Like he was nervous, or like he was trying to baby the kick or something. And I mean, look, it's all a mental game when it comes to kickers. So wouldn't be surprised if that were the case for him. But yeah, he's in a bad place. He's in a bad place and he's likely going to get cut. But the clock management late in this football game by Mike Tomlin, once again, cost this team a chance to win. It took an almost miracle to get them back in it. But as you guys know, I'm not a results-oriented guy. And the fact that the Steelers got down into scoring range, into field goal range, doesn't make me believe any worse that Tomlin didn't put this team in a position to win. And that is his job. His job is to put those players in positions to win. And by keeping Josh Dobbs out there for any more time than he had to, and for not calling timeouts there late because he wanted to save one for the offense, that cost this team. That cost this team, and it potentially cost this team everything this year. You know, I guess we can't talk about this game without talking about the defensive performance late, because defensively, especially in the second half, I actually thought they were pretty good. I mean, they didn't force a turnover. They got a turnover because Carr fumbled it behind his head, but they did recover the fumble. So I guess, you know, for the Steelers, that's a good thing, I guess. You know, the one thing that's really starting to come back to bite the Steelers right now is their inability to have any sort of ball skills in when the ball's in the air. Within the secondary. Guys like Terrell Edmonds, guys like Sean Davis, guys like Cody Sensabaugh, they just have no ball skills. And even Joe Hayden had a play in this game where he should have got a hand on the ball and did not. They don't play the ball when it's in the air. Morgan Burnett, oh my God, Morgan Burnett. I mean, it's just such a problem. There are so many times in this game. How many times in this game did you go, wow, that was a great throw, great catch. Wow, great throw, great catch. Man, they put it right where he had to get it. Put, you know, right over that defender, right over this guy. And it's because the Steelers just don't have the kind of ball skills in the secondary that it takes to make those plays. And so you're watching an offense in Derek Carr and the nobodies, you know, driving down for two easy touchdowns. You know, again, you look at the Raiders drive chart in the second half. 5 plays punt, 7 plays fumble, 3 plays punt, 14 plays touchdown, 8 plays touchdown. When this defense absolutely needed it most, it came up least. That's the word. I mean, you know, part of me isn't even, how do I put this? Because this sounds really bad. How do I put this? Part of me is not necessarily upset that this is happening, because this defense has to change, and it has to change at the top. You have to get new blood on this defense in the coaching staff. And there's no other way to put it, right? So the fact that this defense is collapsing down the stretch again, the fact that this defense has all of its worst tendencies are coming back to bite the Steelers in the ass at the worst possible moment, it's all because this team didn't make a change at the top earlier when they should have, back after they got their ass kicked by Jacksonville. That's real talk here, without trying to be diplomatic about it. Keith Butler should have been fired last year. And the fact that he wasn't fired is why we're going to watch teams like the Raiders go 14 plays down the field and then 8 plays down the field to score a go-ahead touchdown, and then what ended up being the game-winning touchdown. I mean, that's the fact of the matter. You can't, you know, the idea that in the last 2 weeks we've watched Keenan Allen catch 10-plus balls for 100 and whatever the frick yards, and then we're going to watch Jared Cook do the same thing. The two biggest weapons on these teams, two teams that didn't have his number two option. Right, I mean, you got Jared Cook and the nobodies, and you had Keenan Allen and again, a bunch of nobodies out there, right? And we're watching Keenan Allen kick our ass. We're watching Jared Cook kick our ass with no answers from this team schematically. At least, that's what I'm saying. Put this team in a position where they can win. Fine, if Jordy Nelson wins one-on-one matchups late in the game, if Marcel Aitman wins one-on-one matchups late in the game, but take away their biggest weapons, please. And then this idea that the Steelers, again, have this dominating pass rush. I've said it all along. It's the big moments that count. I don't care when you get a sack in the first quarter. I don't care when you get a sack against the shit teams in the NFL. I want sacks in the big moments at big times. And where the Steelers did not get a sack and did not get any pressure in this game was in those two drives, and especially at the goal line. If they had gotten a sack there, it's first and goal from the 7, and then they didn't start throwing until second and goal from the 6. If they got a sack there, it's game over, man. This team has to go 20 yards for a touchdown against our cover 2, cover 3. Maybe. I mean, maybe they just shred us like Mahomes did. I don't see it being the case, though. I think the Steelers are in a very good situation. If it's fourth and goal from the 15, after a big sack, I like my chances. You know where I didn't like my chances? Fourth and goal from the six, and the Steelers are trusting their interior four. Look, here's the bottom line. The Raiders have a atrociously bad offensive line, and we're out there with all pro Cam Hayward, very good Stephon Tuitt, very much improved over the past month, Stephon Tuitt. Bud Dupree and TJ Watt, who I think we're all pretty happy with this year, and you go back and watch that play, there was no pass rush. Carr could have sat back there all day if he wanted to pick apart our secondary, and it didn't take him that long to pick him apart because, by the way, our secondary, just not that good. It's a frustrating loss, man. It's a frustrating loss all the way around. All the way around. You know, again, we're going to lose Boz at this point. We're going to have to start over with a new kicker. That's never fun. The running game at this point is just completely gone if Connor doesn't come back. The Raiders have one of the worst run defenses in the NFL. The Steelers could be the kind of team to go out there and say, hey, we're going to run the ball down your throat. But Jalen Samuels has negative explosion. He has no speed. You know, if he gets caught in the backfield, the only thing you can say about Jalen Samuels that's good is that when he's running the ball, especially as a receiver out of the backfield, he's very strong. He's strong to run through. He's got a little bit of Vance McDonald in him in that first guy very rarely bringing him down. Like to see that. Ridley, on the other hand, I liked Ridley. I talked him up last week on the podcast. I talked him up during preseason, during training camp. I mean, you want to talk about a running back that looks shot? Ridley looks shot, doesn't he? I mean, maybe he bounces back. Maybe he bounces back against the Patriots. Maybe this is a bad matchup for him. Just, you know, he's the kind of running back, though, when you needed a straight-ahead guy against the Raiders, and he's out there going side to side, he's dancing on his runs. Can't have that. Just can't have that in this football game. So, oh, boy, what a frustrating loss. What happened? We're going to look back. You know, this reminds me so much of that year when the original Tomlin were going to raise hell in the month of December, and the Steelers, they just couldn't stop losing. They ended up finishing that year 8-8. It feels like we're reliving that year. Right now, right? Look, for every Steeler fan, there's two ways of looking at the rest of the season, right? There's one, this team is like collapsing, right? Not that it's on the verge of collapse. It has collapsed. And now we're going to get our ass kicked by the Patriots. We're going to get our ass kicked by the Saints. And that's very possible, right? This team finishes like 8-7-1 because they beat the lowly Bengals in the last game of the year. I mean, that game's in Heinz Field. They should definitely win that game. So they should get to 8 wins. So they won't have a losing record. But, I mean, are they going to beat the Patriots? Are they going to beat the Saints? The other thing you have to say, though, is that Tomlin teams, especially when their back's against the wall, sometimes, they come back and they power through that, right? And they go on. This is the time when a team takes a look within and you know, Tomlin teams come out and they surprise you after that. Right? I mean, this team already has done that this year. This team was 1-2-1, and we were all on here. I was on here saying this team is on the precipice of disaster. We're talking about Tomlin losing his job. Now, you know, performances like this against the Raiders, they're not helping. I know there's a whole Fire Tomlin crew out there. I've read your guys' tweets. I'm not defending Tomlin in this one. I've defended Tomlin a lot of the time. I did a whole podcast in the offseason about how the grass is not greener on the other side with Tomlin, about how this organization is right to keep guys through the rough spots. This is a rough spot for Tomlin, especially if this year ends the way I think a lot of us think it's going to, where this team does miss the playoffs. This team loses out to the Ravens in the AFC North. This team loses out on a spot in the AFC wildcard. And it goes this way, you know, what will end up being a 5-game losing streak to get themselves out of the running in both the AFC North and AFC wildcard. It's going to be a tough one, man. I mean, look, they're not going to fire Tomlin in the offseason. I was thinking about this in reading a lot of your tweets out there, in reading a lot of people were saying they have to fire Tomlin, Tomlin has to go. Here's what I'll say about that. I don't necessarily disagree with the idea that this team could use a refresh, right? Like hit the reset button in a lot of ways. I do think that's the case in some ways. But the thing that I always come back to when we start talking about firing Tomlin is this the way we want to set the precedent, right? What has Tomlin done that is so egregious that a team that has never fired a head coach in its current ownership, why start now? What has Tomlin done during his era, during his run, where he's never had a losing season? He's won division title after division title. You know, what has he done that is so egregious now that, okay, we have to break the mold here as an organization to fire him? As fans, we can all agree, the product on the field is not where it should be. This team is underachieving. It has underachieved. It underachieved last year in that playoff game. It's underachieving now with losses like the Oakland Raiders. And there are many coaching blunders to go along the way. But is that enough? Is that enough to set the precedent as an organization that we are now the kind of organization that fires coaches? That the next guy who comes in does not have the kind of job security that Mike Tomlin does? And by the way, if we're talking about firing Mike Tomlin, are we also talking about potentially firing Kevin Colbert? Because I think some of the problem here is not just the coaching. I mean, Kevin Colbert and his ability to find players, not great. Not great, especially on the defensive side of the ball. When was the last time we drafted a surefire all-star defensive player? It's Ryan Shazier and maybe TJ Watt. But that's the list. And for every one of those guys, there's a Jarvis Jones. There's an Artie Burns. You know, it's not, I don't know. I don't want to fire Kevin Colbert. I don't want to fire Mike Tomlin because I don't think this team is ready to make that leap yet. I don't think we're ready. Look, we have a long offseason to talk about this when we start, when we get past this game against New England, past this game against New Orleans. We have plenty of time to talk about these things. But it's interesting, right? Because I'm not here to say there's no way you fire Tomlin. It's because I'm not even saying that this team couldn't use a kind of rejuvenation of a new coaching staff, new ideas defensively, new ideas even offensively. I mean, our offense isn't bad, right? When Ben Roethlisberger was out there in this game, they could have put up 20, 30 points in this game if Ben had not gotten hurt or had been able to come in the game a few possessions earlier. I mean, I don't know if they put up, 40, but they win this game. But now we stare at a season where it's, 7-7-1. They're going to lose to the Patriots next week at home. And that'll be the nail in the coffin because then you got to go to New Orleans. The winnable game here is New England, right? The winnable game is you go to New England, you win that one. Okay, maybe you're good. But boy, it seems like it's such a long shot. We got a lot. Actually, I know I'm rambling here. I think we've gone probably a bit long today. But yeah, I mean, I like a lot of you guys. It was utter disbelief watching. Well, it wasn't really utter disbelief because there was a point during, I think it was like the beginning of the fourth quarter where I said, boy, this is just your typical Steelers-Raiders game. Your typical Steelers go to Oakland game. Just, it's gonna suck. You know it's gonna suck. And it turns out to be as bad a football game as you could possibly imagine. And this one, it didn't even shock me. I was thinking Boz was gonna miss the last field goal, if I'm being honest. I thought he was gonna miss. The fact that he slipped, though, was, if there is, if football is scripted, boy, whoever wrote that, I mean, give that guy the Emmy or the Golden Globe or the Oscar or whatever you got to give that guy for coming up with the idea that it's not just that Boz misses, he slips on bad turf to get blocked. Huh, terrific. Terrific script writing by whoever's controlling the outcome of football games. So anyway, we got a long way to go here. We got a lot to talk about tomorrow. I guess we'll talk more about this game and where the Steelers are. Definitely going to have to do a tape breakdown. I want to look at what happened defensively in those last couple drives. It was a terrible, terrible defensive performance in the last quarter of this game. All right, that'll do it for me today. Thank you all for listening. If you want to leave feedback, SteelerCountry@gmail.com is the email address. You can follow me on Twitter @SteelerCountry, and I'll be back tomorrow for more Locked On Steelers.